Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-wah, the Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us for the second hour of our show on this fine day in America. We are and should be proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. George Mihook will present his amazing novel. Then Quentin Roberts will review last weekend's Service Academy football games. And General Chris Petty will represent the Battle of the Month. So it's a pleasure to welcome author George Mihook. He's written a novel that is full of very realistic action. It's a hard book to put down. Thanks for joining us, George. I appreciate you, man.
Great to be here, Denny.
Tell us your background. How did you decide to write a book? Is this your first book? How did all this happen? Because it's quite a book.
Sure. Thank you. First of all, it's a passion project. So I'm a fan and of history, specifically the Revolutionary period. And then my background is I was a chief information officer for about 20 years. So that's basically a person responsible for technology for large companies. So I fused those two interests together to create this dual timeline thriller that brings the Revolutionary period to life and also spotlights the dangers that we face related to bad actors who are attacking America through cyber and hacking.
Yeah, I'm not a geek at all. You obviously are. And one of the things I appreciate about the book is you're addressing not theoretical, but very real possibilities. That takes some research, doesn't it?
This was a six-year project. And that was one of my goals, was to highlight the vulnerabilities that our society and we as citizens live in every day. And in order to make it as realistic as possible, I had to not only apply my experience, but also ensure that the technology, the settings, the characters were as real as possible. Because if it wasn't realistic, then I just don't think it would have had the impact that it's having. So from the cyber aspect, the technology aspect, to the Revolutionary War heroes that are spotlighted in the book, I just went to great lengths to ensure that it was as accurate as possible. However, I'll say one last thing. But I was careful to not over explain the technology. You know, us geeks can dive into the weeds. So a thriller can't do that. A thriller has to be fast paced. And that's what I tried to achieve.
Well, you kept me, and I'm totally non-geek, so you're right. Your goal was achieved there. Okay, going dark. Like I said, I really enjoyed it. What was your goal for readers to take away from the book, besides reading an interesting book?
So it's twofold. First, as I mentioned, I'm a student of the Revolutionary period, and I just find the stories of the founding fathers and those who fought and died during the Revolutionary period, those stories to be amazing. And I uncovered in my research some just fascinating individuals that sacrificed so much for how we're able to live today. I wanted to tell those stories that people just aren't aware of. So that's the first part. The second is, when we touched on this, we are extremely vulnerable, whether you think about our southern border being porous, or China, Iran, South Korea, continuously probing, hacking into our infrastructure. I wanted to highlight the fact that we are vulnerable, but at the same time, give our leaders in whether it be the government or the private sector, information that helps them understand how vulnerable we really are, so that maybe we can influence change.
You know, I appreciate that, because we just had an election, which is good. But this is our country. We, the people, are responsible to make sure our country's run right. We have to hold our elected officials accountable. And your book gave us some tools to approach our congressmen and senators and those people and ask them what they're doing about things. That was one of the things that rang my bell.
That's great. I'm glad to hear that, because, you know, for your listeners, if they're aware of any of our government leaders or private leaders that can influence the security of our infrastructure, that would be our power grid, our telecommunications network. We really need to make sure that they're doing everything they can to continue to fortify that infrastructure. And this book gives them sort of, it foretells potential vulnerabilities, and we know that our adversaries are attacking us. So this is just that fictional, and hopefully it doesn't come true, that fictional narrative on how to not only hack into, but also potentially to protect our infrastructure.
Yeah, I agree. If there's a threat, you have to defend against it so that it doesn't become an actual attack. That makes sense to me. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with George Mihok about his book, Going Dark, his novel, Going Dark. Okay, so yeah, I'm guessing that we just agreed on, you were looking for some real life vulnerabilities and articulating them to a degree. That's what I saw. Did I read you right?
That's right. So in my day job, I'm a CEO of a software company that specializes in cybersecurity. And I've also, in my past, designed and built data centers. So I wrote this book knowing that what is possible. So it's not coming from a fictional standpoint. It's actually coming from a realistic standpoint. And at the same time, I wanted to develop these characters that are just extremely interesting. Paul Knox is an Air Force comms officer. He's a cybersecurity deep web expert. And you know, he identifies a plot that is basically Osama bin Laden's phase two to 9/11. And he has to identify quickly who's involved and how to stop them.
Well, and that is what our military, not just military, I mean, in industry, you have to do that too, don't you?
Oh, yes. You have to protect. You have to, those hackers, whether they be state actors or gangs or mafia, it doesn't matter. They're coming after data that's valuable. And they're trying to steal it or hold for ransom. You've heard of ransomware. Ransomware attacks are happening every day, and the private industry has to protect our data.
Well, as I said, this book certainly got my attention. It was a pleasure reading it. How can listeners buy a copy of your book and stay in touch with you? Because I presume this may be your first book. It's not going to be your last one, though, is it?
This is the first in the series. So it's called the Liberty Unit series. And the theme of the series is during the Revolutionary War, George Washington founded a group of guardsmen called the Liberty Unit. And this first book, Going Dark, is the origin story of that Liberty Unit. It's a clandestine group that follows throughout history through hereditary genes and protects the presidents and protects America throughout history. So this is the first book. And as far as where your listeners can purchase the book, it's available on all popular channels. In other words, Amazon.com and Goodreads and Barnes & Noble. However, they can learn a lot, not just about the book, but about me and other authors on George Mihok. So that's my first name, lastname.com. So it's G-E-O-R-G-E. And Mihok, M as in Michael, EHOK.com, GeorgeMihok.com.
Well, thank you, because this is a book worth reading, both for the fun of it and get some insights. Thank you, George, for sharing this amazing book with us today. I really appreciate you.
Thanks for having me, Denny.
Next, we'll review last weekend's Service Academy football games. Then General Chris Petty will discuss the Battle of the Month. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time to do some knee bends. Go halfway down each time. Do 50. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I'll be right back. It's time to switch to Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support the First and Second Amendment, the sanctity of life, our military veterans, and first responder heroes. Just go to patriotmobile.com/frontlines. Get a free month when you use the offer code FRONTLINES.
Military leaders have called our national debt the greatest threat facing America, and for good reason. We're more than $32 trillion in debt and counting.
Meanwhile, Congress continues to throw money at the Pentagon and Veterans Affairs with no idea if the money is reaching its intended targets.
Concerned Veterans for America fights for more responsible spending from Washington so Americans remain safe and prosperous in the future.
Visit cbafrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's cbafrontlines.com.
Suppose you are forced to defend yourself or your family. This can happen to anybody, so it's important to be prepared. You will likely face legal bills. Even if you're in the right in a self-defense situation, there will almost always be an investigation and you may find yourself in the legal system. U.S. Law Shield is here to help you through these events. Experienced U.S. Law Shield attorneys are ready to defend you 24/7, 365. To sign up, go to uslawshield.com and use promo code FRONTLINES. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. And it is Service Academy football time. I'm joined, of course, by our football co-host and my good friend, Air Force vet Quentin Roberts. Welcome aboard, brother. Or am I not supposed to say that to anybody but squids?
Danny, hey, we can say it to one another. And as always, it's a pleasure to be here to talk about Service Academy football, the home stretch.
It is. Now, Army had a break. They had a bye last week, so we don't have to talk about them. But Navy lost 35-0 to Tulane.
Boy, I tell you what, Danny, it was a sobering kind of come to earth for the Mids as they just could not get it going. Senior day, last home game for the seniors as they did fall to Tulane in big fashion, 35-0. It was Makai Hughes for the Green Wave who ran for 82 yards and two touchdowns. And the number 20 ranked Tulane locked up its spot in the American Athletic Conference Championship game against two, those Army Black Knights. It was Tulane who outgained Navy 359-113 on a windy day and knocked Navy starting quarterback Blake Horvath out of the game with a rib injury. Tulane's quarterback was just a little too much for the Mids D. He threw for two touchdowns and ran for another. Tulane's a good team. Let's make no mistake about it. Again, they're undefeated in league play at 7-0. Overall, they are 7-2, and they're really a good football team. Their coach, John Summerall, came from East Carolina and really guided the Green Wave to was Navy's first shutout since a 15-0 loss to Army in 2020. So just was not a good game. When we look at what happened, it was, as I mentioned, 359 yards to 113 on total offense. The midshipmen also suffered two turnovers to zero for Tulane. And Coach Newberry, after the game, said, "We just got our butts kicked." And when sometimes that just sums it up better than any statistical analysis is that you can perform. It just was not their day. They've still had a great season. And still have some more games to look forward to. So season's not over. They're just going to have to regroup and come back stronger.
Some days you get the bear and some days the bear gets you.
That's right, Denny.
And Air Force got the bear.
Oh, they're on a winning streak, a two-game winning streak. Perhaps they found something here. It took them a while. But Air Force moved to 3-7 on the season and 1-4 in the Mountain West Conference as they defeated Oregon State 28-0. Boy, what a game it was for Air Force as, you know, they've really been struggling, but Quentin Hayes led their offensive attack. They were able to really move the ball on the ground. They were able to dominate time of possession. They were able to limit the turnovers. Those same things that have been plaguing them all year are what they stayed away from in this game and were able to really put together a comprehensive game. The defense has been playing good football all season long, but it was the offense that's been struggling. And for 2 weeks in a row now, the offense has been able to to be steady and to put up points and to limit the turnovers and the penalties. Quentin Hayes, I mentioned, had 194 yards in the game, 5 for 5 passing for 110 yards, and also had 17 carries for 84 yards. So time of possession. Now, it was usually, that's Oregon State's bread and butter, you know, but Air Force held the ball for 42 minutes compared to 18 for Oregon State. We're going to talk about Army. And that's going to be the formula for Army to beat Notre Dame, too, because it definitely can happen. But yes, Air Force prevailed. They're on a 2-game winning streak after their victory over Fresno State. And now they've taken down Oregon State. And really, there's some optimism on the front range in the Colorado Rockies.
And there should be. And the Secretary's Cup is when Coast Guard plays Merchant Marine. That's sort of the Army-Navy game at their level. And Coast Guard won 42-21.
Oh, they sure did, Denny. You know, for the first time since 2018, Coast Guard was able to prevail. And I tell you what, they're excited. They end their season 5-5 overall, 3-4 in the conference. Merchant Marine drops to 5-4 overall, 3-4 in the conference. But boy, those Bears really took it to the Mariners and prevailed in the Secretary's Cup, 42-21. Both teams traded turnovers early. And as you moved into the second quarter, it was quarterback Joey Armentrout for the Bears who really was the difference. He was really solid in passing, you know, and completing some big passes. And his first touchdown play came in on off of a 12-play, 67-yard drive and an 18-yard pass to LeBoulier. You know, now Merchant Marine didn't go away. They came back with a 13-play, 65-yard drive of their own to tie it up, but it was just too much of Joey Armentrout. He hit LeBoulier again for another touchdown pass, and then a third, all in the second quarter. So they really took control and went into the half 21-7. In the third quarter, they came out, they being the Bears, had a big run from Jameer Wheeler. A 34-yard touchdown run, boy, put them up 28-7, and then they just coasted from there. Added another couple of touchdowns in the fourth quarter. I mean, it was just a real party for the Coast Guard Mariners in Kings Point, New York, which is where the Merchant Marine Academy resides. So on the road, Coast Guard was able to put together a fine victory. Big win for them, and congratulations on an excellent season.
Well said. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking Service Academy football with Quentin Roberts. This weekend, Army hosts Notre Dame at Yankee Stadium. That should be one heck of a game.
Denny, it really should be. This is what college football is all about. Now, we enjoy the Secretary's Cup games, and we enjoy, you know, a lot of games, but this is a big one. Look, it's at a historic location, Yankee Stadium. You have the famed Notre Dame Fighting Irish, and they are having a great season. They've only lost one time. They're 9-1 coming into this game. Army is ranked number 19 in the college football playoff, and they are sporting an undefeated record, 9-0. What are the keys to the game for Army to win? Run the ball well. They're number one or number two in the country in rushing right now. And by doing that, they're able to limit possessions, run the clock. They need to do that, but they need to finish those drives with touchdowns in the red zone. They need to win the turnover battle. They win the turnover battle. They score touchdowns in the red zone, limit possessions, and get a couple of stops on defense. Hey, they're going to be singing that old Army song, Denny, at the end of the game.
Yes,
and
sir.
It can be the Black Knights who put themselves in position for the college football playoff. You know, right now it's Boise State, who is the highest ranked group of five team. But if Army can beat Notre Dame, and Notre Dame's ranked number 6 in the country, they have playoff hopes of themselves. They will likely dash Notre Dame's playoff hopes and put themselves in perfect position. They've already locked up a place in the American Athletic Conference Championship game. Their game against Navy will not have any bearing on that. So this is what it's all about, Denny. Army is prime time, baby, 7 p.m., NBC or Peacock. It's a must-watch game, and this is the chance. This is what you know, kind of you've been building to. This is their opportunity to really jump and vault themselves into the national limelight.
Indeed. Navy has a bye this coming week, so they don't play. Air Force is versus Nevada. Give me a quick one on that.
Yeah, they're going to face Nevada, Danny. Air Force has found that secret sauce they've been looking for, look for them to prevail in this game, but Nevada's going to be a tough game.
Thank you, Quentin. We'll be back at it again next week, brother. This season is going on, and it's looking good.
We're in the home stretch, Denny.
Yes, sir. Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, General Chris Petty will present the Battle of the Month. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. Troops, I hope you're giving serious thought to buying gold and silver to keep your future more secure. Check out Universal Coin. That's where I go. Check universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm, twice. Then take a break and stay in the area. I'll be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
Fresh, flash, frozen from the American farmer every time. PatriotFoods.com, hit the shop now button. You're supporting a veteran family in need every time you shop. Look at us online, see how we give back. For the servicemen and women of this great country, we are fighting for the American farmer. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM, 10% off today, folks. Shop now.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I buy Patriot Foods. It's great. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM. Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. And now it is time for the Battle of the Month. So, of course, we're joined by General Chris Petty. Welcome, brother. Thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you, Denny, as always.
Well, you're part of the team, so I guess we're stuck with each other, aren't we?
Yeah.
Chris, start by giving a real quick review of your time in the uniform.
Okay. Like you, I graduated from the best and only significant military academy in the country, West Point, class of 87. I did aviation as a branch, did all the normal assignments that grow you as an officer. And then lo and behold, we declare war and I'm in Iraq as a battalion commander doing some pretty interesting things with our special operations task force over there. And of course, that leads to some other opportunities. And I'm a brigade commander sending units back and forth to Afghanistan and Iraq. And then I got some really cool general officer assignments. I was the commander of NATO headquarters in Bosnia. And then worked in the Pentagon on the Army staff. And then finished out in NORTHCOM in the ops section. So really some interesting stuff and a great and rewarding career.
It clearly was. That's entirely cool. And somewhere along the way, you got interested in military history battles. So talk to us about the Battle of the Month for this week.
Okay, so we're going to talk about some world history this time, not just U.S. history. This is the famous Battle of Agincourt, Henry V's finest hour. As your listeners probably are well, you know, informed by Shakespeare, and he did a pretty good job of Henry V on this one. October 25th of 1415. So I'm taking you way back. Henry V, the King of England, is facing one of the nobles, Charles d'Albret from France. And I'll explain, but France was very fragmented and in kind of a low-grade civil war during this time. But why should we know this battle? Well, obviously, it's one of history's most famous battles. Everyone's heard of Agincourt. It's Henry V's finest military achievement, I think, by far. It also holds a lot of lessons for anyone interested in the art of war, which I really am, so I'm fascinated by this battle. And then kind of, you know, in a big historical context, it's really a precursor of a transition between nobles and knights, and then the age of professional armies is coming because English commoners defeat the finest French nobility on the battlefield. So it's really a transition battle, too. So that's why we should know.
Didn't the British longbow make a big deal in this battle?
Yeah, it did. It's not as famous as people think, and I'll explain why the archers are significant in this battle. I mean, the longbow did a lot of damage, and so yes, it's a big part of this fight, but not as much as people think.
Okay.
Okay, ready for the overview?
Go for it.
Okay, so 100 Years' War. This is the 100 Years' War going on between England and France from 1337 to 1453. So it's actually a little over 100 years. But France is invaded numerous times by English kings, staking their claim that they own France based on William the Conqueror, who was from Normandy to begin with. And so Henry V decides that he's going to make his own invasion, just like his grandfather did. So he launches an invasion with 10,000 men in the summer of 1415, and he besieges the castle in the area of Halfort. Now he wants to secure his base of operations. Pretty smart. But the siege takes longer than expected, 5 weeks. It depletes his manpower. He's getting into the rainy season. His troops are sick, and he's like, okay, I can't campaign like I thought. So instead of just ignominiously retreating home, I'm going to do a little campaign across the northern coast up to Calais, where it's a little safer for them to depart if they want to. So he moves his sick and tired army overland, and the rivers are swollen, and the French are now gathering forces because they, even though they're still kind of fighting a low-grade civil war, they can unite against the English. And he has to move up the River Somme because he's blocked by the French on his way to Calais. And then the French block him as he crosses the river and moves directly towards Calais. So he's faced with a choice. I can kind of surrender or I can fight. Now he's outnumbered 4-1. He's got 6,000 men now because he left some to guard Halfort and his men are sick and all that stuff. He's got 6,000 men versus 25,000 French knights. And he's greatly outnumbered and he's sick and hungry and cold and exhausted. So it really looks bad for Henry. But the French are overconfident and they lack a unity of command, which really plays a role here. So Henry does something really smart. He deploys his force between two tree lines so the French can't flank him and he can match their front. And then as the French attack, he's got archers on the sides and some stationed in the center. And the French are too overconfident. So the French nobles are, you know they're going to win. So they want to charge forward and get the glory and the booty. And that's a mistake. They get mired in the mud. The archers are hitting them with the longbows, very effective from the sides. The French are starting to compress against Henry's men-at-arms in the mud. The archers now, here's the significant part of the battle. The archers now are attacking the sides. It's becoming like a little battle of Cannae, if you're familiar with that one. It's a double envelopment, and the archers are coming in with axes, swords, and hammers and taking out these knights in large numbers. And it becomes this massive cul-de-sac of killing because the knights are off their horses. The horses are stuck in mud. The archers are attacking from the sides, and it's a bloodbath. And because they don't have any unity of command, the cavalry in reserve, a bunch of nobles on the hilltop, you know, are like, well, I'm not going down there. That doesn't look very good. So they just ride away. So in the end, 7,000 French dead, 1,000 of them were nobles, the finest of French society. Henry loses 500 men, 300 killed, 200 wounded. So it was a massive lopsided victory that should never have happened. But Henry did such a great job. So even though the battle didn't really alter the war, it really did further destabilize France. And it's just one of history's remarkable underdog victories. So an interesting battle to know.
It really is. And, you know, that's what I like about doing this with you. I know something about this, but I didn't know some of that. So this is cool.
Yeah, it's really neat. And the archers, the longbow was very effective. I mean, the English were really good at it. They trained well in it. It made a difference. But the archers in this case became the enveloping force, attacking the sides and even compressing the killing cul-de-sac even more.
So it was the archers, not the bows, that made the difference. Huh?
That really is the story of Agincourt, is how Henry used the archers that way. And he protected them with posts that they, you know, dug into the ground, sharpened the end. And so they survived cavalry assaults too. It was a pretty remarkable battle. Henry did a great job here.
That's awesome. What a great story. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing the Battle of the Month with General Chris Petty. We've got a couple of minutes left, Chris. Tell us about the Battle Digest. That's a real option for people that to learn more about our, not just our nation's battles, but principally our nation's battles.
Yeah.
And learn some real accurate history.
Yeah. I decided when I retired from the Army to make history easier to digest, easier to understand, and really pull out the lessons of the battles and why they matter, you know, even today. So I create this really concise trifold brochure. They're beautiful. You've seen them, Den. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're foldouts. And so you get the maps and you get the images and you get a nice summary of the battle and why it matters and the play-by-play, so to speak. And, you know, it's just a nice way to learn or refresh history. It's battledigest.com. I publish these every quarter. I put some of them in a book, which you've also seen. And it's just really good for people that like history or want to know more about it. So battledigest.com, that's all you got to remember.
You know, and I think it's important that we adults, we parents, make sure our kids know real history. And this is a good vehicle for that, too.
Yeah, it's written in a style that's concise, easy to understand. And, you know, even, I mean, even 14-year-old kids love this stuff because it's just very logically organized. So you know what happens.
I mean, even infantrymen like me can understand it.
Even old infantrymen like you. Yes. You don't have to read the 300-page books anymore, Denny.
Amen, brother. Chris, thank you. Thank you for this great review of real history and for being a member of our team. I'm proud that we're friends and working together.
Me too. I really enjoy it, Denny. Thank you.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for the weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You've reported for duty to Frontlines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups. How about 64 this time? I want your ranger ready. Then, stand at ease.
HelpVet.net was created to be the nation's number one resource center for all veterans, active military, and families. At HelpVet.net, you'll find up-to-date information on benefits available through the VA, resources on education, employment, health and wellness, and more. Find hundreds of nationally recognized organizations offering discounts on products and services, as well as local organizations from attorneys to yoga studios. You'll find them at HelpVet.net. Visit HelpVet.net for all your family's needs.
Silver has increased 24% over the past 15 months and is a solid financial investment. Silver is projected to continue its rise and is nowhere near its 2011 high of $49 an ounce. So there's still a lot of room for investment growth. Call 800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is our final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. You know, I do some coin collecting. Universal Coin was the dealer of the year for the American Numismatic Association. It's a great place to go for coins and a great place to go to purchase silver and gold like I do. I encourage you to go to universalcoin.com/Denny. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I really welcome comments from you, our listeners. Send your thoughts to me at frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Skip, what's the first comment?
Well, Colonel, Mona, an Army vet and mother, wants to know how you feel about the people President Trump is nominating for senior positions.
Mona, some are people I would never have thought about nominating, but all are, in my opinion, very qualified.
And Susan, the sister of a West Point cadet, has heard you talking about the Army-Navy game. She's going. Are you?
Susan, yes. We got our tickets this week. My family and some friends go every year. We'll see you there.
And who's going to win, Colonel?
Army, of course.
Okay.
Of course. Now it's time for military history. Take us there, Skip. What's first?
Well, Colonel, on 25 November 1783, nearly 3 months after the Treaty of Paris was signed, ending the American Revolution, the last British soldiers withdrew from New York City, the last British military position in the U.S. After the last redcoat departed New York, General George Washington entered the city in triumph to the cheers of New Yorkers. The city had remained in British hands since its capture in September of 1776.
I'll bet that was one heck of a parade.
A party.
Uh-huh. And on 25 November 1918, a full 2 weeks after an armistice ended World War I in Europe, Colonel Paul von Letlow Forbeck of Germany finally surrendered his forces in German East Africa. A master of guerrilla warfare known for his brave and honorable conduct, Letlow Forbeck emerged from the First World War as the only undefeated military commander on either side of the conflict.
Wow. And on 25 November 1941, Admiral Harold Stark, U.S. Chief of Naval Operations, told Admiral Husband Kimmel, commander of the U.S. Pacific Fleet at Pearl Harbor, that both President Roosevelt and Secretary of State Cordell Hull think a Japanese surprise attack is a distinct possibility. Quote, "We are likely to be attacked next Monday, for the Japs are notorious for attacking without warning," Roosevelt had informed his cabinet. "We must all prepare for trouble, possibly soon," he telegraphed British Prime Minister Winston Churchill. Kimmel's command was specifically at the Mid-Pacific base at Oahu, which comprised, in part, Pearl Harbor. At the time he received the warning from Stark, he was negotiating with Army Lieutenant General Walter Short, commander of all U.S. forces at Pearl Harbor, about sending U.S. warships out from Pearl Harbor in order to reinforce Wake and Midway Islands, which, along with the Philippines, were possible Japanese targets. But the Army had no anti-aircraft artillery to spare. War worries had struck because of an intercepted Japanese diplomatic message, which gave November 25 as a deadline of sorts. If Japanese diplomacy had failed to convince the Americans to revoke the economic sanctions against Japan, things will automatically begin to happen, the message related. Those things were becoming obvious in the form of Japanese troop movements off Formosa, apparently toward Malaya. In fact, they were headed for Pearl Harbor, as was the Japanese First Air Fleet. Despite the fact that so many in positions of command anticipated a Japanese attack, especially given the failure of diplomacy, Japan refused U.S. demands to withdraw from both the Axis Pact and occupied territories in China and Indochina. No one expected Hawaii as the target.
But it was. On the 28th of November, 1941, the aircraft carrier USS Enterprise departed Pearl Harbor to deliver F-4F Wildcat fighters to Wake Island. This mission saved the carrier from destruction when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor.
I love the Enterprise, Colonel. Just love that.
You bet.
And on 29 November 1947, despite strong Arab opposition, the UN voted for the partition of Palestine and the creation of an independent Jewish state. The modern conflict between Jews and Arabs in Palestine dates back to the 1910s, when both groups laid claim to the British-controlled territory. The Jews were Zionists, recent emigrants from Europe and Russia, who came to the ancient homeland of the Jews to establish a Jewish national state. The native Palestinian Arabs sought to stem Jewish immigration and set up a secular Palestinian state.
But Britain controlled the country because they took control of it at the end of World War I. And there you are. Okay, 26 November 1950, in some of the fiercest fighting in the Korean War, thousands of communist Chinese troops launched massive counterattacks against U.S. and Republic of Korea troops, driving the Allied forces before them and putting an end to any thoughts for a quick, conclusive U.S. victory. When the counterattacks had been stemmed, U.S. and ROK forces had been driven from North Korea, and the war ended into a grinding, frustrating stalemate for the next 2.5 years.
And on 26 November 1968, during the Vietnam War, while returning to base from another mission, Air Force First Lieutenant James Fleming and four other Bell UH-1F helicopter pilots got an urgent message from an Army Special Forces team pinned down by enemy fire. Although several of the other helicopters had to leave the area because of low fuel, Lieutenant Fleming and another pilot pressed on with the rescue effort. The first attempt failed because of intense ground fire, but refusing to abandon the Army Green Berets, Fleming managed to land and pick up the team. When he safely arrived at his base near Duck Co., it was discovered that his aircraft was nearly out of fuel. Lieutenant Fleming was later awarded the Medal of Honor for his actions. Sounds like he earned it, Colonel.
He earned it. And basically, those Green Berets just hung on to the outside of the helicopter while he flew them out. That would have been fun, too. And that's military history for today. So what would you do if forced to defend yourself and your family? This situation can happen to anybody, but it's important to be prepared. In addition to being the worst day of your life, you can face a large amount of legal bills. Even if you're in the right in a self-defense situation, there will almost always be an investigation, and you can find yourself in the legal system. It's sort of the way the law works. This is why U.S. Law Shield was formed. They're here to help people through events who never thought that would happen to them. With their Legal Defense for Self-Defense program, experienced attorneys are always ready to defend you 24/7, 365. To begin your membership or learn more, go to uslawshield.com and use the promo code FRONTLINES. And now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, Skip.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. All across the country, violent crime is skyrocketing, and now more than ever, Americans need to stand up and exercise their Second Amendment rights. Now is the time to get trained and ready to handle this growing threat. But if you're not, please look into it and learn what you can do to legally carry a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, 74-year-old Rebbe Robertson of Texarkana was sitting at home when out of nowhere, a burglar appeared in her home and pointed a gun to her head. The burglar ordered her into the next room, and she complied. At the first opportunity, Rebbe retrieved a 5-shot .38 special revolver off a nearby table and pointed the gun at the criminal's face. He turned around and began running out of the house. Rebbe opened fire, missing him, but leaving several bullet holes in the walls of her house. The robber escaped unharmed, and he hasn't been caught. Rebbe doesn't expect him to come back, but if he does, she says she's ready.
Thanks, Colonel. Many criminals target retirees because they see them as easy targets. And that makes sense to a point. After all, people in their 70s and 80s aren't as strong and fast as they used to be. Older people also have problems with poor hearing and eyesight, which makes them more vulnerable. But despite all these disadvantages, Rebbe rose to the occasion and was able to fight back and drive away this home invader using superior determination, drive, and courage. I listened to the 911 call, and this 74-year-old was definitely in fear for her life. You can hear the terror in her voice as she talked. But in spite of that, she was able to shrug off her fear, get to her gun, and shoot at the intruder. Many people who win gunfights report initial fear, but then the fear turns to anger at the attacker, and they're able to channel that anger to overcome the fear. Rebbe did a good job at this. Fortunately, the robber didn't want the fight, and he wisely fled the scene. Many criminals don't expect resistance, especially from older people. So when it comes, they're surprised and react by fleeing. Statistically, 40% of the time criminals flee when their victim produces a gun. Rebbe fired at least 3 times and has the bullet holes in her walls to prove it. I would have preferred her aim to be better, but poor marksmanship isn't unusual in a circumstance like this. Nonetheless, Rebbe did a great job overcoming all her disadvantages and turning the tables on her attacker. She overcame her fear, she waited for the right time to counterattack, and she then fired until the attacker was driven off. Frontlines of Freedom salutes 74-year-old Rebbe Robertson for her bravery and her quick thinking in this great time of stress. Great job, Rebbe, and keep up the good work.
Yeah, and she had a weapon available. A good one, too. Thank you, Skip. Our movie of the month is Salt. It's about Thanksgiving. You can go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog and get the link, and you can watch it for free. I'd appreciate getting your comments about the movie. Please send the comments to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, Congressman and retired General Jack Bergman will share his insights. Veteran Jacob Snyder will discuss veterans getting civilian jobs. And Quentin will review last weekend's Service Academy football games. And Diane Raver will present the movie of the month. Our book, Frontlines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. And it's now available in Spanish. You can purchase this book on frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Amazon. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans. And do get active in correcting our nation. Plug into Concerned Veterans for America. Go to cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information you will not get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.